Good Friday morning, Nashville. Welcome into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe and Elijah Campbell here with us today. Elijah, what's up?
Not much. Just come to kick it and talk some sports for an hour. Filling in for Ryan today.
I like it. Marquise is out. He is headed home. So good, you know, he'll be with the fam this weekend. So you and I are going to hold it down. I mean, Ryan gets married and decides, you know, I'm going to take 3 weeks off from work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to milk that all I can. And
Marquise
goes home. So you know, they leave us to
I'm
hold it down.
I'm third stringing it right now. I'm Ty Detmer.
No.
I'm third stringing it right now. And don't ask why Ty Detmer's the first third string quarterback to pop into my head, but he just was.
Wow. I mean, I would have gone like Jacoby Brissett.
Ooh, yeah. Jacoby Brissett's one of the more recent famous third string quarterbacks. I could say I'm Logan Woodside and have now been promoted to backup.
You're the backup.
I could be, yeah,
for
I could
the foreseeable
be a,
future.
A promoted backup for now, but. Don't ask why Ty Detmer was the first one.
Ty Detmer.
It was just the first,
all
yeah.
Of all the names you could pull out of thin air.
Oh, when was the last time you think the name Ty Detmer was said over Nashville Sports Talk Radio?
It's been a while.
It's decades, I can assure you.
It is funny, though, to think about the third-string quarterbacks that actually, you know, became something.
Oh, yeah, that are able to have careers at some point in time. And we're sitting behind two other people.
Was Foles a third string?
He might have been. Foles, I know one of the McCown brothers was third string for a while.
Billy Volek,
yes.
Was a third string.
Billy Volek was a third stringer. Billy Volek got like somewhat paid. I think Charlie Whitehurst, another famous third stringer.
Clipboard Jesus.
Yeah, with the best third string quarterback name of all time, too. If we're ranking those, then Clipboard Jesus is number one without
a doubt.
Great
hair.
Oh, fantastic hair. He should have gotten at least some kind of shampoo endorsement deal on that alone.
No, he totally should have. So, funny story about Billy Volek. I guess I wasn't really a fan of his when he was here, just because the Titans weren't good when he was here, and so the whole thing went down where he gets traded because you know he was upset about not starting and all of that, and so they traded him. So I went to his first game back with San Diego, and he was on the bench backing up Rivers. And I don't remember how we got these seats to this game, but we were right behind the Chargers bench.
And
Volek was actually ended up going in for some reason, and he threw a pick. And so he's coming back off to the bench, and I yell out, "Hey, Volek, glad you finally found a Titan to throw to."
Ooh.
And he heard me.
That's good.
Like, yeah, he gave me, like, I thought he was going to flip me off. I had my phone ready. I was like, please flip me off.
You had, like, your Motorola Razr or whatever it was back then ready to get footage of Billy Volek. Oh, wow. See, from downtown. But getting Billy Volek to flip you off would definitely be a top 10. I guess Tennessee Titans, like, fandom moment.
Oh, it would have been awesome.
That is incredible.
It would have been fantastic. But I promise that is not our plan today here on a July 3rd. A lot of you are off. A lot of you are observing the July 4th weekend. But we are here. We are working and bringing you some entertainment. So speaking of entertainment, I know that Marquise and I have been talking about this a lot this week. We're so I mean, I can see the bubble. I can look out my window, and I can see the bubble now all the way down in Orlando. But it's almost here for the NBA to get going. But I know there continues to be concerns, and I think there's going to be until they actually get there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're at that point where there's so many unknowns, and you've had some positive tests and all of that. But teams are practicing. They are getting ready to return to play. But I know Damian Lillard had some comments. Dame Dollar had some comments on the bubble and some potential concerns.
You telling me you're going to have, you know, 22 teams full of players follow all the rules? Like, when we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. So, I mean, I don't have much confidence, but hopefully, you know, it'll be handled to a point where, like, we're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous position. You know what I'm saying?
Damian Lillard on following the rules. So he brings up a good point. I know Stephen A. Smith had some thoughts on this week. There are some concerns. You lock everybody up in a bubble, which is what they're basically calling this, and then you expect everybody to be cool for 3 months while they finish the season. There are going to be some things, and Marquise calls it the snitch line, that, you know, there's like a phone number that somebody can call and like tell on somebody.
Will eventually be used by Chris Paul at one point.
Probably, yeah. He'll be, you know, what's his name from Fresh Prince will be breaking in trying to be him, so he'll call the snitch line. But I think that there are going to be some rule breakers, and this is just something you're going to have to deal with as you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the first time for a lot of these guys that they've like had rules to have to follow by. Like, these are all grown men that make millions of dollars playing basketball, and it's not been since their college days in which they've had to like live by a structure made by somebody else. So that's going to be weird for a lot of these guys too. And like you said earlier, it's like nothing that's ever happened before. It is unprecedented. No one's ever played in a bubble in the middle of a pandemic like this. But there is a little bit of that concern of being like your Damian Lillard, being a, you know, an all NBA caliber player who's never had to have been told, you know, what to do since he was in college, never had like an authority over him. So he makes a good point there, and it's going to be weird for those guys on that alone to have to live by like these sets of rules that they've not been having or been like forced to do since about the time they were in college for most of these guys.
Yeah. Well, I think we both agree. I'm not going to speak for you. I'm just going to assume that we both agree of the rule that's probably going to be broken the most. And that is either sneaking somebody in or somebody mm-hmm. sneaking out to go see someone, because I get it. You're gonna miss your wife or girlfriend or whatever. You're gonna get lonely. I understand. So I think that that's the thing they're gonna really have to watch out for, is trying to get, you know, sneak people in and out.
They have to do the curfew checks or something like that.
Yeah, tape on the door, but you know how to open the door where you don't tear the tape and all that.
See, my thing with that too is like, especially because in the NBA, or in a lot of professional sports, shoot, even college sports, there is that problem of players like sneaking out when you're on the road, or bringing people in, or bringing women in, and having that kind of issue that Stephen A. Smith alluded to earlier in the week. Yep. But I would usually understand that, but we're in the middle of a pandemic, man. If you're bringing someone you don't know, and you're like, I'm trying to think of a good, like Monte Morris on the Denver Nuggets, and you bring someone over, you end up getting coronavirus, like getting it from that person and then spreading it to your team because you're going to be in close proximity with them for weeks trying to finish out the season. That could be a big deal. I mean, I guess we're going to find out like who's about it, like who's willing to absolutely sacrifice, I guess, that aspect of your social life in order to either make the playoffs, like the Portland Trailblazers case, or win a championship, like your the Denver Nuggets or Lakers or Rockets, whoever's in that position to contend.
Yeah, no, but we both know that it's somebody's going to be dumb enough to try something.
Someone always is. There's always that guy in that group that is willing to do something incredibly stupid. Yep. To sacrifice something like that. And like Damian Lillard does have a good point, because like no one really follows the rules when like they have 100% freedom, or as close to 100% freedom.
And you're talking about grown men that they're paid professional athletes. They do what they want most of the time. So now all of a sudden, I mean, we're mm-hmm. joking about curfews and tape on the door and stuff like that. Really? No, you can't do that. There's got to be some sense of freedom inside this bubble.
Mm-hmm. Something, as much as you can. I mean, but that's the thing about this, too, is the whole point of the bubble is to create as much of a controlled environment as you can. And really, if guys do end up breaking the rules like that, and of course, like you don't stop an idea like the bubble because of something like that for, like, I guess, anticipating rules to be broken. But, I mean, that could actually put the entire season in jeopardy if enough guys do. And a lot of, you know, teammates have to hold these guys accountable. And it's like I said earlier, this is the first time a lot of them have been forced to be held accountable in this type of situation in decades, or since, you know, they were in college, or something, for some of them in high school. You know, like Jarris Smith probably hasn't had to do this since high school, because he came to the NBA straight out of high school.
Yep.
And that's another interesting thing too, is J.R. Smith or guys like J.R. Smith or Trey Burke who are getting picked up just to be like backup players or substitution players in case a player does test positive for COVID. This is a big opportunity for them too, not just, you know, for their teams. Like, they can make a living in this sport after this season too.
I'm waiting for somebody to do like a fake open to the show Big Brother, but starring the NBA players, because that's exactly what this is going
to
be.
They need to do that.
It's going to be like Big Brother.
The entertainment value for that would be through the roof. Out of all the things that I want to see done in this NBA bubble, as I want to see a bunch of hidden camera, Big Brother style stuff, and then mic up not just the players on the floor, but the players that are in attendance, in the stands, in attendance, watching the games, to hear the junk they talk about each other on and off the floor. I mean, the entertainment value for that is through the roof, and you're already going to hear a lot of that just by the, you know, the microphones and the gym picking some of that stuff up, but I would love to hear, like, just be a fly on the wall at some of those conversations, like what these guys are talking about when they're playing ping pong, or what they're talking about when they're watching another player on the court right now. Just to hear some of that would be incredible in terms of entertainment value.
Yeah, well, it's almost here. I know there are going to be a lot of stories that come out of the bubble and stuff that we'll be talking about, so should be a lot of fun. We are up and running here on The Rundown. You can always weigh in, 615-737-1025. Call or text. I'll go ahead and give you something to think about. A ridiculous contest that you would enter and think that you actually have a shot to win. Obviously, the hot dog eating contest happens on 4th of July weekend. You can text us, 615-737-1025. We will get to that a little later on the show. But when we come back, former Titans fullback Lorenzo Neal was on Jared and the GM yesterday, had comments on paying the big dog, Derrick Henry. We will discuss that when we return. The Rundown, ESPN 1025 The Game. Nashville SC returns. Nashville SC will face Chicago Fire FC in the MLS's back tournament on Wednesday at 9:30. You can catch all the action right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game or ESPN 94.9, beginning with pregame coverage at 9 o'clock. Good to have some Major League Soccer back. The third game in the history of Nashville SC. Hard to believe that it's been that long since they played those first two, but they will get their season going again. I know they left last night. They got delayed by a day due to a positive test, but they did head to Orlando last night around 8 o'clock. So Nashville SC, catch that on Wednesday. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell here on The Rundown. Hope you're having a good start to your Friday so far on a 4th of July weekend. I know it's obviously a weird 4th of July weekend. Won't have fireworks downtown as we are going back into phase two. I guess they're calling it a modified phase two here in Nashville. So do the right thing. Just wear your mask and stay away from each other. You know, but you can hang out, but just be 6 feet apart. I mean, it's not that hard.
Yeah, six feet's not too bad.
No,
it's fine. You don't want to be within 6 feet of people in it, even non-pandemic.
Most of the time, I don't want to be closer than 6 feet to people. So, I mean, maybe certain people I'd make exceptions for, but that's a different.
It's a small list. Very small list.
Small list for sure. But speaking, I actually have no segue for that, but Lorenzo Neal, who's a former Titans fullback, he's in Oakland, he's in the Bay Area, I should say, doing sports radio now. He was on with Jared and the GM yesterday, and of course, as we get closer and closer to that July 15th deadline, Elijah, where Derrick Henry, who is currently going to play on the franchise tag, they have until July 15th to get a long-term deal done. Anytime we have a football guest on, you have to bring up Derrick Henry, the running back position, and whether he should get paid. Lorenzo Neal weighed in.
The naysayers for running backs are saying, well, you know, once they get to 30, they're done. You've got to be careful. Don't overpay. Can't sign him to a long-term contract. I'll bet you don't believe much of that.
No, boy, that's one of those things. You know, you ask me and ask you. You know, we're gonna be for the running game. Let's be real. Tannehill got the money. Tannehill got the money, but who deserved it? Let's put the rat right on the table. Who's more valuable to that team? It's not even close. When Derrick Henry is running and he's running hard and effectively, he is a tough out, and you saw that in the playoff game. When they're playing Kansas City, you get up on them, have a chance to have Kansas City. Then when the running game went away, Tannehill had an opportunity to make plays. What happened? It wasn't like he was getting sacked all the time. Remember the play in the second half? He's got the wheel route, the 4-H running down the sideline. I think you remember this, Floyd, overthrowing wide open, would have walked in the end zone.
Lorenzo Neal, former Titans fullback, now does radio in the Bay Area on paying running backs, Derrick Henry specifically. He's right on all of that. Now, I will say this with any football team, and this is the argument that Darren and I have gotten into time and time again about Bill O'Brien, that you play for the postseason. Your goal is the postseason, and how you perform in the postseason is going to define you. I mean, it just that's my opinion. You can have great careers, regular season careers, and that should be recognized, but it's all about getting to that trophy and bringing it home. That's the ultimate goal by everybody. And I think you can look at Derrick Henry's performance in the postseason and how they didn't need Ryan Tannehill until that game against Kansas City. And then you obviously we saw what happened. They just couldn't get it going. After Kansas City got back in the game, it was all over. But because they got off to a pretty good start, and I thought, oh, here we go again. It's about to happen. But Derrick Henry runs the show. I mean, he is the catalyst that gets that thing going, and I don't think anyone's going to argue with that. And so
you could a little bit.
So you
I think you actually could just because
Calvin Smith is not here anymore. So are you taking the reins on arguing against running backs?
I can. Yeah, absolutely. I can fill in that void that's going to be missing now that he's gone. Oh, I love Derrick Henry. Like, don't get it confused here. I love watching that man play. And when he's on his game, he is as fun to watch as any player in the National Football League. But the fact of the matter is, too, in the first 7 weeks of the season when this team was struggling, you still had Derrick Henry. It took a threat behind center or under center to be able to spread the ball around, to make the offense what it was. If it's not for Ryan Tannehill getting inserted into that lineup, this team's not in the playoffs. And I feel like we could agree with that. We don't talk about Derrick Henry's playoff performance because they wouldn't have been there in the first place if it wasn't for Ryan Tannehill. And Derrick Henry was there all season long. And as well as Derrick Henry played, as he ran all over the field in the Patriots game, it only resulted in 14 offensive points. If the Patriots had a lot of weapons, and I know that if ifs and ands were pots and pans, the world would be a kitchen. But that's a totally different game if the Patriots were able to move the ball at all. We don't have a chance to see Derrick Henry and the Titans square off against the Ravens. And if it isn't for a couple bombs then from Tannehill to Jonnu Smith and to Khalif Raymond, then we might not have seen the Titans in the AFC Championship game. And yeah, Derrick Henry played pretty well in that first half of the AFC Championship game. But when you're playing against an offense who can score at will and score a bunch of points at once, and you just don't have that kind of firepower to score in bunches, which is what the running game makes you do, you have to rely on home runs to score that quick. If you're not hitting on a lot of those home run plays, and it takes a couple-minute stretch like the Chiefs had at the end of the first half and that first possession of the second half, then you're forced to abandon the thing you do best, because that's just the nature of the running game. You couldn't use Derrick Henry in the second half because you're playing from several possessions behind. You can't have those grinded out long drives, and because you have predicated your entire offense on that, it makes you have to do something that you're completely uncomfortable with doing. And when it comes to paying Derrick Henry, it's going like long term. I mean, maybe like 1 year for this year or 2 years where you're paying him a lot of money isn't the worst thing in the world. But you can really handcuff the rest of your offense if you're going to do that. Not because Derrick Henry's not good enough. That's never been the question. It's never going to be the question. It's just that the nature of the running back position in 2020.
Yeah, but I will say this, though. There were times that the Titans were down, and they stuck with the run. They didn't abandon it completely. Now, they mixed in. I think here's a part of all of this that we do gloss over sometimes. When they made the quarterback change, Arthur Smith had also, he was about six games in. So you could tell he was starting to get comfortable. And then they made the quarterback change, and he was able to do more. Now, could he have eventually done that with Mariota? We'll never know. But it was time to make the change. So I think that that's something that has to be factored in, that you had your offensive coordinator that got his confidence up too, and everybody realized, this guy's actually pretty good as a play caller. So how that was working out, I think, was a part of it too. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think they need each other. But with that said, I mean, you don't want to, I don't think it's right to make him play, and I know hypothetically, we talked to Joel Corey last week, Floyd and I did, he could play the next 3 years on tags. You franchise him this year, you could franchise him again next year, you could use the transition tag in the third year, and so, yes, that money's going to keep going up. If you do the math, it makes sense to go ahead and get a long-term deal done, but hypothetically, you could do these one-year deals and get away with it. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. He doesn't get signing bonuses. He's done a lot for your team and your organization, so he's earned the right to a long-term deal. It's just finding the right amount that doesn't handcuff you as an organization, but also you give him what he has earned, because I think we all agree he's earned the money.
Oh yeah,
it's just figuring out how to pay, you know, how long and all of that. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's making just north of $10 million for this year on the franchise tag. If that number went up to 12 per year, something like that, I don't think I'd have a problem with that. If you got him on a 4-year deal, but maybe after 3 you can get out. So you have that. One thing Joel Corey said too is have it line up with Tannehill, so you can get out of both of those around the same time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that would definitely be smart, because I mean I do agree to an extent that they do feed off each other and their relationship's mutually beneficial. It's just, to me, like, and Derrick Henry obviously deserves the money too, the same way Todd Gurley deserved the money in Los Angeles, because if he wasn't as good as he was, that offense might not have been as good either. It's just that risk too. And if you can get Derrick Henry to play this year on a tag, or then maybe play the next 2 where you do pay him, I guess, $12 million a year. So, and just the key is just not to handcuff the rest of your offense, because that's what other teams did in terms of the mistakes they made. Todd Gurley's contract completely handcuffed the Rams to whenever one of their weapons on the outside, Brandon Cooks, got hurt and was continuously getting hurt. It hurt the rest of that offense too, because you just took away a weapon. Or when Cooper Kupp got hurt, you're very limited on the outside. And if Todd Gurley's not playing to potential or playing to what he always was before the injury, then you're going to see a large dip in your offense, the same way the Rams saw that dip this year. And I think that's just the quintessential example of what you don't want to be from one successful year offensively to the next.
Yeah, I will say this too. You know, one conversation that we've had is, you know, like, who has the biggest challenge? Is it going to be A.J. Brown or is it going to be Corey Davis? Because you're really going to need both of them. You're going to need those two to be threats through the air for Ryan Tannehill. You're going to need Derrick Henry to play the way that he's been playing. You're going to need Jonnu Smith to accept the starting tight end role and grow even more into that. Basically, what I'm saying is they don't have Patrick Mahomes. They don't have that guy that can, you know, turn you or Tom Brady and turn you or I into a superstar. You have to do this as a, not to be cliche here, but you have to do this as a team. And I believe that they all recognize that. But with all that said, the individual accomplishments do have to be recognized. And I think they will. I have said from the very beginning, I think they get a long-term deal done by July 15th for Derrick Henry, and I stand by that. I believe that here in the next couple weeks, they'll be announcing that they've signed Derrick Henry to probably, if I had to guess, a 4-year deal. And when you look at the contract, you'll be able to get out after 3, something like that. But what he cares about is the guaranteed money, what that number is. The Titans obviously care about, okay, does he have enough in the tank for 3 or 4 years? Which you can make the argument that he does, because if you go and you look at, you know, his first few years in the league, I mean, the first couple years he wasn't really used that much because DeMarco Murray was here. And really, it was his last year at Alabama that he got a bulk of the carries, you know, during his college career. I mean, he played 3 years there. First year, barely touched the field. I think he had a little over 150 carries in his second year. And then obviously they rode him his final year at Alabama. But there's still a lot of tread left on the tires. And I think that you should factor that in when you're trying to pay him too.
Oh, you bank on it. If you're going to give him any kind of, you know, exceptional money over any kind of time, you need to be 100% sure that there is a lot of tread on that tires, and also understand that it might take one low blow or one shot to the knees that really hinders him. I mean, for a lot of running backs too, like, that get just like ridden really hard. And Derrick Henry, as physical as a runner he is, doesn't take, you know, like a lot of awful hits. He's usually the one delivering the punishment, not the one receiving it. He's hard to bring down. But all it would take, I guess, is one bad nagging injury to completely make that deal really, really bad. And then that might be when you do start handcuffing your offense, because there is a lot of dead money around your offense too. And that's just that's another thing with the running back position too. It's hard to predict injuries. And that might be the most physical position on the field too. And even if you are someone like Derrick Henry, who, like we said, is the one who is delivering a lot of the punishment, that's when a lot of those contracts do get really, really bad. It's a precautionary tale, and that's what makes this so tricky too, because you do want to reward a guy like Derrick Henry. You just want to be able to, I guess, project into the future how much you're going to get off of that investment, whether he deserves it or not, which he does. He definitely does.
Yeah, and not a lot of running backs are built like him either. I mean, just think about the agility and the speed that he has, and he's, you know, a brick, you know, what house. I mean, that's what he is.
He's a very big boy.
Yeah, yeah. I remember, and I did a Facebook Live with Michael Griffin a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about him, and he goes, man, I remember seeing him for the first time, and I was like, I don't want to touch that guy. I mean, he's going to mow right over me. And I said, yeah, I was watching Vrabel do drills with the running backs, and Vrabel lines up, and here comes Derrick Henry, and Vrabel just goes, oh, beep. Like, this is going to be fun. And Derrick just mows through him. I mean, it's Tractorcito. El Tractorcito. That's his nickname. It's like getting run over by a tractor.
Still one of my favorite sports photos of all time is during the national championship game. I think it was 2017. There's the – or 2016. The first one between Alabama and Clemson, where Mark Ingram's in a letter jacket are out there standing at midfield with Derrick Henry for the coin toss, and Derrick Henry looks like he could be his father. He just dwarfs another Heisman Trophy winning running back, and it's just one of the funniest looking sports photos that you could possibly find.
It is the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. When we come back, it's time. I'll explain the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Relive some great sports moments this 4th of July with 102.5 The Game. Starting tomorrow at 9 o'clock, we'll have some Preds Classics for you. And don't forget, at 1 o'clock, Game 6 Remastered. That's the special we did, the 2017 Western Conference Final against the Anaheim Ducks. A lot of fun there. And then starting at 5, some Major League Baseball Classics. 2011 World Series Game 6, the Rangers at the versus the Cardinals. And then I hope Darren McFarland doesn't listen to this one. 2016 World Series Game 7, the Cubbies taking on the Indians. So that will be a lot of fun with some classic games over the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, it could be some painful memories for Darren. I'll have to remind him, send him a text that day. Say, hey, just don't, whatever you're doing, don't tune in the radio.
Oh, there was one day we were doing the show, and I texted him, and I'm like, hey, dude, you should check out MLB Network. And it was right at the end of Game 7. And he's like, I can't read what he said, or I can't say what he said, but he was like, really?
Probably wasn't pleasant.
No, he's like, really? Because with that
traumatic
same week,
for him.
They had shown the 95 World Series, which he'll tell you, he goes, I thought the Braves were the better team, and the Braves should have won that. I mean, with Game 7 against the Cubs, I mean, they were right there, and the Cubbies got it. So, but yeah, some classic games that you can check out. So I said it's time, and this is something we've been discussing over the last few days, Elijah, but the Washington Redskins, it's time to change the name. Mm-hmm. And I say this, I know that a lot of these subjects are front of mind because of what's going on in our country right now, and they should be. I'm glad that these conversations are being had, but this is one that's been going on for years, and honestly, it probably should have happened a long time ago. And I don't necessarily, like, I would look at it and go, well, okay, they've always been the Redskins. And that's how a lot of people have gone about it. Well, they've always been that. Well, as we're learning, how it always has been doesn't mean it's always been right. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, the tough part of people trying to figure this out right now. So what do we do? And Dan Snyder has been steadfast and saying, nope, not going to do it. I believe now he's going to have to, because you have FedEx that is a big sponsor. They're getting involved. Other sponsors, the RFK Stadium site, where they want to build a new stadium. could be on hold if they don't change the name. So I believe at some point he's going to be forced to do it, and it's time. I mean, you can always recognize the history, and I think you can even say, well, yeah, you know, the former Washington Redskins or whatever. I mean, you can preserve the history and do right by everybody, but I do believe it's time.
Yeah, it's been time for a while, too. It's just not been, I guess, like you said, it's now the front of everyone's mind because of everything that's gone on in this country right now, which only makes it even more time, makes it the perfect time to finally do something in terms of changing the name, which is at its core very inherently racist, whether we want to say it is or not. I mean, they've, like you said, they've always been the Redskins. It's always been something that, like, we've thought of and we've always, you know, known. And I think Dan Snyder finally will now, just because, like what you said, FedEx is a huge sponsor of this team, this organization. They always have been. And if I'm not mistaken, are they still the sponsor of the stadium?
Yeah, through 2025.
Yeah, through 2025. So if the name that's on your stadium threatens to pull out of that deal with 5 years remaining on it, you're going to have to act, not just because of the social implications that come with changing your name, but also your financial implications of being able to run this team. We all know how important the stadium sponsors are and how much money those stadiums or those companies give to these franchises to be able to put their name and logo on your stadium as well. And I think this is the one thing, and it's also going to prove a point about Dan Snyder personally, that he's not going to care about this type of change until it affects his pocketbook. But if that's what it takes, then, like, kudos for FedEx for finally, you know, doing the right thing and saying we're not going to be able to, I guess, enable you to keep doing this. And that's probably the best way to get Dan Snyder to change something about his organization is by hitting him where it really hurts and where it would hit all of these NFL owners. And that's the pocketbook. I mean, that's the same reason the pocketbook's the same reason that no one wanted to sign Colin Kaepernick, or Colin Kaepernick was blackballed from the NFL, was because right. They were afraid that it would affect their bottom line, or the people would stop coming to games or stop watching because they signed someone who took the stance that he did and in the manner in which he did.
So I pulled up, obviously now people are weighing in on this, and I think most people would understand that they need to go ahead and change it. One, you know, you already have corporate sponsors that are jumping in. This is a prediction. There's nothing to back this up. I was having this conversation with Ricky and then Marquise yesterday in a text of that. I think, what if Dan Snyder keeps holding firm, no, I'm not going to change it, and all of a sudden Madden, EA Sports, comes out and says, all right, well, they're just going to be the NFL Washington team on the video game. And they remove, I don't know if they can do that contractually, but could that stir things up? I mean, that's just yet another thing, and that's a very popular game for the NFL if they took the Redskins name off of Madden, that would mean.
That would be huge, and something that physically can. I know you're saying, you know, I don't know if it can contractually happen. I know for a while they wouldn't put Bill Belichick's name in there because of Spygate, the Spygate thing, and there's a lot of, I guess, some other things, too.
He's still not on there.
New England coach. Yeah.
Yeah, and the reason for that is he's not a member, because of Spygate, but he's not a member of the Coaches Association.
And Sean Payton's not either. I believe Sean Payton, after Bountygate, was just New Orleans coach.
Yeah,
they wouldn't put his name in there.
I think he's back.
Oh, is he back?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I played Madden, at least 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, he's back now. It has a lot to do with the Coaches Association, that if you're not a member of the Coaches Association, you can't be on the game. It's like the Players Association. You got to be in the PA, which everybody is. But
right.
Bill Parcells wasn't a part of it either. So Parcells was never on. Wasn't on there. So
I know in baseball for a while wouldn't allow Barry Bonds in the game. They gave him a name like Reggie Stocker, like in the MLB The Show games. They gave him some name like that.
Yep, I remember that. So I pulled up an article that has some fan suggestions of new names for the Redskins. And there's some mock, you know, uniforms and all that too. At Fake Teams, I hear y'all are looking for a new name, the Washington Red Tails, and there's a description of why the Red Tails. The name Red Tails celebrates the World War II Tuskegee Airmen, who were the first African-American military aviators in the U.S. Armed Forces. The nickname Red Tails comes from their planes.
Ooh, that's good.
I like that.
Historic, yeah. I love historic nicknames for teams too, and that would be a good turnaround from a from what is perceived as a racist, you know, team nickname to one that celebrates the type of groundbreaking, I guess, racial action.
And you don't, you're not changing much of the color scheme. I mean, there's you're keeping a lot of things intact. An easy one, and still. You know, I don't know how people would feel about this, but the Warriors, the Washington Warriors, you could do that. You could go back. Remember they had the, I guess it was in the 80s or early 90s, they had the Arrowhead logo mm-hmm. on the helmet. You could go back to that.
Which were awesome uniforms, too. I remember they wore them a couple preseasons ago, or yeah. about like a decade ago. They wore them like for an entire preseason, and those are nice uniforms.
Yep. So I don't know if that would be far enough away, but okay, that's an interesting thought. The Washington Griffins. That's been thrown out there.
The Griffins. Okay, I could see that.
The DC Defenders, but isn't that the MLS team?
I thought that wasn't. Oh, that was the XFL team.
XFL.
Yeah, that's the XFL team. Yeah,
the XFL.
I mean, shoot, you already have an entire entire branding thing. You just move the move the team to the NFL.
Yeah, somebody suggested just call them the Pigskins. So you could keep
Ooh,
the skins.
Oh,
name.
Yeah. And a lot of other fans that come to the games, like some of their loyal fans were like the Pig Noses. I forgot why. I think it,
the Hogs, yeah.
The Hogs, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that can make sense. There's a little sense to that.
No, this is a good one. The Sentinels.
The Sentinels.
You know what that's in reference to.
Wow.
We got to have Shane Falco as a part
wow.
of that.
Wow. Yeah.
That would be funny.
Did not think we would reference a Keanu Reeves character on the show today, but we can mark that on the – hope we all have that on our bingo cards.
The Federals, Washington Federals.
Okay.
You know, that could be one.
Makes sense because of D.C.
See, I threw out, like, the thing that stinks is I think the Washington Senators, I have always liked that as a name, but that's baseball. You know, they're mm-hmm. that's what the I think the Twins and then the Rangers, I think, were the Washington Senators at one time. Obviously, they have the Nationals. You know, Capitals is a good one, but that's hockey. So you want to – I think you want to differentiate and have your own. But the Presidents could be one. I do like the Federals. I don't mind that.
The Federal's not bad. That's not bad. But what are you going to do? Put, like, I guess, like an FBI logo or something on on the side of their helmets? Like – I don't know.
Because my whole thing
the narcs.
Is, if they do it, and it's not so much if, it's when at this point, I believe, when they do it, mm-hmm. do you want to go, how far away do you want to go from the look of the team? Do you want to keep the color scheme? Do you want to be as close to it as you possibly can and just change the name? Or do you want to completely rebrand? That's what Daniel Snyder would have to decide. And it's obviously happened. I mean, the... You know, a lot of Tennessee Oilers has been trending on Twitter because people don't want to recognize that they were the Tennessee Oilers for 2 years, but they were. And then they rebranded. Now, they kept the colors similar. They went from Love Ya Blue to a darker blue that was the prominent color and then went back, you know, to a lighter blue at you know, later on. But they did a good job of changing the name, making it Tennessee, but paying homage to the Oilers with the colors and all of that. So, I mean, the history is still there. So you can do that, and it's worked. Trying to think of some other, you know, other teams. Like the Rays, you know, they were the Devil Rays. The Bullets became the Wizards. I mean, there are plenty of examples of teams that stay in the same market and change their name. I know the Oilers, that's a little different because they moved from Houston and were only the Tennessee Oilers for 2 years, but... It mm-hmm. at the end of the day, when they do it, you'll get used to it, and it won't be that big of a deal.
Yeah, and I mean, and even if it doesn't make sense, I don't think anyone's going to care anyway, because there's a professional basketball team called the Utah Jazz, which doesn't really make a whole ton of sense, because when I think of Jazz, I'm not thinking of Salt Lake City. And we've kind of just let one that passed. I mean, it's an egregious sport team like name crime that we've just kind of, as a society, just gloss over us.
Well, what sucks is I wish they had changed their name, and that way, because I still don't like the name Pelicans, and when they got a team again, they could have been the Jazz, just like Charlotte mm-hmm. became the Hornets again.
Yeah, as they should have been all along.
Yeah, the Bobcats.
Yeah, oh, that was atrocious. And, like, one of the worst parts of the Bobcats, too, was the uniforms. I just think that the color
scheme,
everything was just ugly.
Hot garbage.
Yeah, absolutely terrible. And they try to throw pinstripes on it, so it made it look like they're trying to revert to the old Hornets look.
Yeah.
It's just not the same. So if you're going to do it, there's a right way to do it. But I think in Washington for the football team, they can figure that out with a little bit of good brainstorming.
And I know they got the song, but you could even work on keeping the song. Hail to the Washington football team, whatever they are.
Hail to the Red Tails. See?
Head to the Red Tails. It works.
I like it.
It works. It's the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell. He's back at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. When we come back, we want your participation to wrap up the show, 615-737-1025. In honor of the hot dog eating contest this weekend, what's a ridiculous contest that you would enter that you actually think you could win? We'll discuss that next. The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, enable our Alexa skill or Google Home, and ask to play 102.5 The Game. Or you can check out our website and stream from there, thegamenashville.com. Back here on The Rundown, Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell with you on a Friday. Hope you have a happy and safe 4th of July weekend. I know a little bit of a bummer, no fireworks downtown this year, but all for a good reason as we try and get rid of this virus. You missed it on July 1st, Elijah, but Marquise had the tweet of the day. Said, all right, second half, time to put Tua in. Second half of 2020, time to go to Tua. I think he's the hope we all need.
That it is, and that is some good creativity, because I swear if I would have seen one more tweet saying that 2020 is a second half team, I was going to delete the app from my phone right then and there.
That's the hope.
That's the hope. I hope we are a second half team, but they're a little more optimistic than I am at this point. 42-0 lead is hard to erase.
Yeah, I mean that's basically what this is. We haven't even sniffed the end zone at this point.
We're making it salvageable.
Yes. All right. So this weekend obviously is the Nathan's hot dog eating contest that happens every year, and I know that Mike Golic Jr. is a part of that. I think Fitzy might be a part of that as well, as they televise that. So what is a ridiculous contest that you would enter that you actually think that you have a shot to win?
Ooh, that's good. When you teased it earlier in the show, my girlfriend texted me and said, you should definitely say mild sauce, Taco Bell mild sauce, just because when I order Taco Bell, I always have them put like as much as they can. I'm embarrassed to say the amount of how much I want them to put in there, but it is an embarrassing amount. And I could do that at what cost? We discussed that earlier. It would not be very pretty, but I would definitely take a lot of people in a buffalo wing eating challenge. I know at least when I was like 12 years old, me and my dad one day just decided to like, we went to KFC and got like those breaded wings. I ate about 25, just to see how many we could eat. He got 50, and we ordered 50. I ate about 25, and then he maybe had like 10, 15. And we had to eat the rest the next day. But like, I was in my prime right then. I'm not too far behind now. That's a promise. I'm not too far behind in that category right now.
So when we had our first anniversary of the game, we did like a big celebration at a place and that is actually not there anymore, sadly. But we did a big, you know, broadcast all day, had all our shows there, and they had a hot wing eating contest, but it was with ghost pepper.
Oh my God.
And I wasn't a part of it. I witnessed it in a lot of tears, but they brought some back to the station and they were like, see how many you can eat. Well, unbeknownst to me, I didn't realize just how hot ghost pepper actually is. So I went in guns a-blazing.
That's probably the best way to go in terms of getting numbers right there.
Yeah, I went in guns a-blazing and like, a minute and a half into this, all of a sudden I start to feel it.
Woo.
And I have never felt that amount of pain. Like,
oh my
inside.
God. Especially if you weren't expecting it. If you just had idea how hot that was and you just went
hot.
In with a reckless abandon.
Yeah. I knew it was hot, but I didn't realize how hot. And I mean, my eyes are watering and it's burning on the inside. My mouth is on fire and I made a fatal mistake. I reached up to wipe my eye.
Oh, no.
So now my eye's on fire. I mean, it was bad. I was in tears.
Third-degree burns inside of your body.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh,
that's
awful.
Atrocious.
And I will tell this to anyone that enters a hot food eating contest. When you do this, you need to remember something. If it hurts going in, it's going to hurt when it comes out.
And probably even worse.
Yes.
I was going to say the payback on those is always worse than the original action itself.
It was painful. And then a few years later, Joe Dubin from Channel 4, when the Music City Bowl comes to town, they had a hot chicken eating contest. And so I was a part of that. Now, this wasn't ghost pepper. This was just, you know, this was, I think it was Hattie B's. It wasn't their hottest, but it was pretty hot.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think who all was in it. It was Joe. I think Dave Foster from Fox 17 was a part of it. Melanie Layden from Channel 4. She actually won it. Does weather over there. So she actually won. But and then I was a part of it, and I was doing okay, but you're starting to feel it. I would like another shot at a hot chicken eating contest because I think I mm-hmm. could do better because now I know what to expect.
Was that your first time eating hot chicken? Specifically, Hattie
yeah,
means hot chicken.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I don't like hot food. I don't like spicy.
Oh wow.
Food.
Yeah. And you entered a hot chicken eating contest?
I got entered.
Basically
Joe called me and goes, "Hey, you want to do this? Okay, good, you're doing it." But it was fun. I mean, it was awesome. Like it was a cool
Right.
It was a cool deal and I've done it 2 years now. I did it 2 years in a row, but
I too enjoy like embarrassing myself for the amusement of others. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But that's almost torture. I wouldn't even say like embarrassment. That's almost torture if you haven't had it for that first time.
Yeah.
And if you're not a big spicy food guy.
So I would do that again. Hot dogs, I don't think I could do it.
I'm just not a big hot dog guy in general.
I like hot dogs fine, but I'm not a speed eater either. That's another mm-hmm. part of it. You have to condition yourself to be a speed eater.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not that. So
speed is as much as endurance too. I'm giving up after like three or four.
Yeah, and I know, like, you also have to go into it knowing that if you want to win, there is a good chance you're probably going to make yourself sick. It's going to happen.
Oh, I would make myself sick watching other people eat that fast. I don't know if I could physically do it if I'm looking over to my right and Joey Chestnut's dipping his whole thing in water and then, like, just inhaling a hot dog at will. That alone, I think, would make me sick just as much as eating all of that food would.
Yeah, yeah. So, we'll see. Maybe we do that, you know, as a game staff at some point. We do some sort of eating contest. That'd be fun.
It would make a good video.
It would. I'd like to see Stillman, you know, house some hot dogs or something.
Yeah, or some hot chicken. We could bring the hot chicken one back.
Yes.
I think I'd stand a decent chance there, at least.
See, it's always the smaller guys.
It like is.
You look up and you see, oh, there's a big dude. All right, he's got this. No, that's not true.
They're the opposite of the fit. They're usually the underdogs.
Yeah, and it's because people would look at me like, oh, I bet you'd be fine. No, I probably wouldn't.
Like, thanks for your confidence, but no, I am not good at eating like 50 hot dogs at once. Sorry.
Something to think about as we wrap this up and get ready for Darren Donick and Chase. We're going to bring – Willie is all excited about this. Peter Burns put a tweet out a few days ago. What's your favorite random sports stat that blows your mind every time you see it? The comments on that have been pretty good. We're going to discuss that, so put your thinking caps on, and we're going to have a lot of fun today on the July 3rd edition of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next. Thanks, Elijah. ESPN, 102.5 The Game.